Number 41.
Almost everybody has looked at a tree stump or a freshly cut log and noticed the rings. These rings are formed one per year, and by counting the number of rings, you can determine the age of the tree. And then you'll notice that some rings are wider or narrower than others, and those tell you that some years were better or worse than others for the growth of the tree. And that's called dendrochronology. What people don't typically appreciate is that creatures that form shells or skeletons in the oceans also form annual rings, and the study of those annual increments is called sclerochronology. Sclero for hard tissue, chronology from time. This is a section of a clam shell collected at Cedar Key, Florida from Mercenaria campigiensis. It's a cross-section that reveals the outer shell layer and the annual rings recorded therein. And by counting those annual rings, you can determine how long this clam shell lived. And by looking at the thin versus the thick layers and counting back from when the clam died, you can determine that some years were better than others. And our challenge as scientists is to figure out why some years are better and why some years are worse for clam growth, because we think that tells us something very important about the marine environment. My name is Doug Jones. I'm the director of the Florida Museum of Natural History and also curator of invertebrate paleontology.
Number 81.
Animal remains found in archaeological contexts are known as zooarchaeological specimens. Zooarchaeological specimens, such as bones and teeth, are significant for their dual ability to inform us about past natural and cultural history. The zooarchaeological specimens featured here are from the Ambassaline archaeological site located in northwestern Hispaniola in modern-day Haiti. Excavated by Kathleen Deegan, the Ambassaline site is believed to represent one of the original indigenous Caribbean communities encountered by Christopher Columbus in the late 15th century. Specimens recovered from the site are remarkable because they provide a snapshot of greater Caribbean animal biodiversity at the dawn of European colonization, providing a baseline of sorts from which to assess the impacts on biodiversity as well as cultural diversity that followed European arrival. The zooarchaeological specimens recovered from Ambassaline include terrestrial fauna native to Hispaniola at the time of European contact, including jutias, the Hispaniola edible rat, and the American purple gallinule, as well as animals introduced from Europe, such as the house rat, domestic cat, and pigs. Each category of fauna is significant for revealing how the onset of European colonization shaped and eventually impacted Caribbean terrestrial animal biodiversity, including native animal extinctions and population declines over time. The Hispaniola edible rat, once native to Hispaniola and present at Ambassaline, went extinct shortly after European arrival, and its extinction is in large part attributed to the introduction of European rats and domestic cats, both of which were present at Ambassaline. Likewise, jutias, a medium-sized rodent, were present before and after the arrival of Europeans. Once endemic to northwestern Hispaniola, the now extinct Puerto Rican jutia was not only heavily exploited by indigenous people at Ambassaline for food, it was also transported and introduced to other Caribbean islands, including Puerto Rico and St. John in the U.S. Virgin Islands. That said, sometime after the onset of European colonization, Puerto Rican jutias across the Greater Antilles went extinct. Jutias may have been prey to domestic cats and experienced habitat disturbances from pig rooting. In addition to animal biodiversity loss, zooarchaeological records at Ambassaline also help us to document animal species that survived and continue to persist throughout great environmental and cultural changes, such is the case with the American purple gallinule specimens recovered from the site. This bird was likely sought after by indigenous people for its brightly colored feathers and continues to delight birdwatchers today.
My name is Michelle Lefebvre, and I'm a courtesy research scientist at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 96.
The term zooarchaeology may not be a familiar term to some of you, but you certainly know our work. For example, if you were to read about domestic dogs, chickens, or turkeys, If you've encountered information regarding ancient climate change or sea level rise, if you've read about the ancient animals' bones that are found in archaeological sites, then you know our work. Zooarchaeology is the wedding of zoology and archaeology, and we seek to understand the human and natural history of zooarchaeological sites. This is through the identification and quantification of bones using museum comparative specimens. This unique specimen of alligator gar, Atract osteus spatula, serves as one example that you might enjoy seeing. Alligator gar and other members of their family have been referred to as living fossils that can be tracked back into the Cretaceous, nearly 145 million years ago. They are most common in aquatic and brackish water habitats of southeastern North America, and their range extends to more northern parts of the Mississippi watershed. They can grow to be 6 feet long and exceed 100 pounds. The world record catch was in 2011. The gar was 8.5 feet long, weighed 327 pounds, and was estimated to be 94 years old. Presently, alligator gars are sought for sport fish, and they're used as a food resource. As a predator, they also are of ecological importance. Their populations have been somewhat diminished because of habitat loss. In the zooarchaeological record, skeletal elements of fishes from the family of garfish are commonly identified in archaeological sites. Members of the gar family were used as food resources for nearly 5,000 years. It has also been reported that their ganoid scales were used as arrow points by Native Americans. The scales and the vertebra are the most often identified skeletal elements of this animal in middens. I'm Irv Quitmire, and I'm a zooarchaeologist at the Florida Museum of Natural History.